Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of September, recording at 9:23 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets, quite strong. The commodity producers excepted. They've tended to drift lower, and all stock markets caught a little bit of selling pressure on Thursday and Friday. Government bonds, firm throughout the week, extending the recovery rallies. And the US dollar, yesterday's development looked important, downward dynamic, after ranging near the recent small rally highs, but no follow-through in here today. In the precious metals and the industrial metals, we saw a firmer tone emerging in here, but they are still susceptible to some spillover contagion from oil, which has remained weak. There's still evidence that distress selling is occurring in that market, and that applies to the natural gas as well. Beans, grain bean complex, still ranging, gave up some of yesterday's gains. And I think those are the main highlights that I've noticed. So, what about the stock market cycle? Well, first, I do maintain that the balance of technical evidence suggests that this is a very late stage in the overall and predictable medium-term consolidation, medium-term correction, rather, for the 2Q and 3Q periods for 2006. Now, a number of stock markets that I highlighted had led the way back up into new high ground, marginally, nothing decisive, but it's pretty positive action, I think, overall. There are some dissenting votes in here, and the commodity producers are the most important among these. They have tended to roll over a bit recently. And if we were to see, for instance, the European indices, the Asian indices, and the North American indices, I should say the Wall Street indices, because Canada's underperforming right now, being a commodity producer. But again, I'll just repeat those. Here we see the Asian indices, the European indices, and the Wall Street indices roll over the way some of these commodity-producing country markets have rolled over. Look at Brazil, for instance, as an example, one that had been a hot market up until May. Now, if all the others, as I say, were to roll over, then that would look technically a bit worrying. It wouldn't be game, set, and match in terms of sliding into a bear market by a long shot. But it would indicate upside failures on the markets that have currently been leading the way on the upside. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the commodity story is separate from the rest of the story. There has been a huge amount of negative publicity towards commodities recently, and it's the sort of thing that, frankly, we've been hearing for pretty well the last 4 years. It's just when some of those commodities moved into medium-term corrections as the global stock market cycle moved into medium-term corrections, the voices who had been gone a little bit quiet in terms of shouting about the commodity run being over, understandably, became quite a chorus. And because commodities had seen better gains than most of the stock markets over the preceding 3 and a bit years, then the reactions may well be somewhat sharper and or at least last somewhat longer. Some of the corrections, I should point out at this stage, have been very, very modest indeed, mainly the industrial LME-traded metals, such as copper, zinc, nickel, aluminium, lead, and tin. Okay. Now, I think overall, though, that the stock markets are counting a little bit of resistance near former highs yesterday and today following some good gains. That's to be expected. There's nothing significant in the technical action of the last couple of days in terms of negative signals on those relative strength leaders. The environment that I look for is one where we're unlikely to see much worse than a bit of ranging in here. We're still in this nervous period seasonally. We're not through the month of September, so we haven't ended the third quarter yet, and then October provides an emotional qualm or two, but that the basic direction that we're going to see here is on the upside, and it's very clear in terms of what that leadership is, and it's certainly some of the European indices, Switzerland right at the forefront, and the Asian markets are packing in very well, and that's an area that I really, really do like, those Asian markets. And yes, there are laggards, Thailand, obviously a special situation right now. I've written about that a bit more in here today, and there was a good comment from Martin Spring, which I have posted. But overall, Asia is the world's growth engine. And Asia is also now becoming a consumer of last resort. Well, that means several different things. It's certainly becoming the biggest consumer region, if it isn't already. I think it's suspected already is the biggest consumer region. Not necessarily the consumer of last resort, because Asia produces an enormous amount of what it consumes. But the important point is that Asia is the world's growth engine, not the United States. The United States, as long as it remains a great place to do business, and I think it will remain a very interesting, powerful, and strong economy. But it's a nation of 300 million people. And when we look at that Asian region overall, we're talking about 3.5 billion people. And those are people who are seeing, many of them are seeing their standards of living rise very, very rapidly. And I think that will continue for really quite some time. And that will be good for global growth. It'll be a strain on resources and a strain on the environment. But the latter one is obviously another subject. Moving on to the government bonds. It's not a sector I like, as you know, but we have not been shy in seeing the potential for a technical rebound in here during the first, because of the medium-term correction that global stock markets were seeing, and latterly, because of the weakness that we've seen in the crude oil price. Now, as long as crude is on the defensive and not much above the $60 level, I think bonds will really remain quite steady. And so it looks like that window is going to remain open a little for a little longer. But I would be prepared for a major strengthening of that entire commodity sector. And it could, I'll be very vague on when that will happen. I suspect it won't be that long from now in terms of crude oil. But the far more important thing to do is to wait for the technical evidence. And as I said in my introduction, we are still seeing evidence of distress selling in the oil sector and also in natural gas. Now, what does distress selling looks like? That's when, despite there clearly being some shorts in the market, you get only a modest rally, and dead cat bounce sort of thing. And when that modest rally occurs, it is soon reversed, and often spectacularly, by some dramatic selling. For instance, crude had pushed up to 62.26. That's the NYMEX crude at one point earlier today, and then got absolutely thumped, and that drove it back down to 60.19, and it's currently trading at 60.33 in the after hours activity. So we're still getting that distressed selling, and while we're still getting that distressed selling, there is the risk that we will see some contagion here in other resources markets. Now, first, though, I want to come back to those, but taking things in sequence here. Once those commodities are strengthening once again, and once people are no longer worrying about a slowing global economy, and that could be that to get both of those factors into place, and one of them is quite behavioral. How long will people be worrying about a slowing global economy, for instance? But against that background, current background, still favorable for bonds, but at some point in the weeks and months ahead, that will change, and then I think bonds will be quite risky, and I'll hope to be able to make that call when I see it, but it's not yet. The bond rally is still intact. That's the bond price rally, declining long-dated yields. Now, currencies. I mentioned that downward dynamic by the dollar yesterday against the background of some weak economic activity. The interest rates in the United States are still a prop for the dollar, at least where interest rate differentials favor the US currency. And then the commodity currencies, which were so strong earlier on, are off the boil. One of those commodity currencies is now congenitally weak in here, and it's one that we've mentioned over and over again in this respect, and that is the South African rand. And when that commodity cycle, or when confidence rather returns to the mining shares, I expect the South and I expect the South Africans to do extremely well. Now you say you, some people might say, well, I'd be losing in the currency what I'd be making in the share price, but of course the currency can be hedged out, and I maintain that the shares, when they're back in favor, will go up a lot more than the rand will come down. So that's an interesting play, and one that we have, Owen and I have been mentioning on a number of different occasions. The dollar is unlikely to remain a strong currency. Well, it hasn't been a strong currency, but it's beyond a modest rally that we had seen up until yesterday. But I don't look for big swings in the reserve currencies overall. But I do expect the dollar to weaken a bit further from current levels against certainly against the euro and the Swiss franc, and quite possibly the yen. There's still a lot of resistance up near the 118 level for the dollar against the Japanese yen, but of course the Japanese interest rates are so unattractive. Now, going on to the precious metals, and until I'll take the entire industrial resources sector, gold and the industrial metals, gold and its sister precious metals and the industrial metals, I remain a very big long-term bull. I've stated that over and over and over again. But you know that along with some stock markets, the precious metals had accelerated higher in that April and May period, and that's always an ending. And they're experiencing predictable medium-term corrections as well. Now, the precious metals have steadied recently. They first they lost downside momentum, and they firmed up yesterday with the help of that softer dollar. And we saw some further gains in here today, but they were pared back from their highs. For instance, gold is well, not that much, but it's at 589.50 right now. It had been up to 592. Palladium had a strong day here today, up 11.30 at 320. It had been up at 326. So those gains were, as I say, pared back a bit. And the factor that caused them to retrace some of those gains, it's the same thing that's been worrying the market all along, and that's the oil market. So when that capitulation selling hits oil, that does cause some contagion selling in the precious metals overall. But they're performing better than the oil and gas complex is here right now. But I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to remain cautious about the short term for the precious metals until I do see some emphatic technical evidence that the oil market has actually bottomed. The industrial commodities have been absolutely phenomenal. I'm talking about the likes of copper, zinc, tin, nickel. They have remained very, very steady. They've seen very modest corrections, much smaller than stock markets, for instance, much smaller than the precious metal complex, for instance. And that suggests that, again, the obvious points that supplies remain thin and that demand remains very strong. And I think that will continue to be the case, but during this corrective phase, while the oil price is weak, it is certainly not beyond the bounds of possibilities that we could get a bit of a downdraft in some of those industrial metals. I wouldn't be shorting them on that basis because there are too many backwardations, the supplies are too thin. I think that's too dangerous a game. And I also maintain that the long-term secular bull market, the super cycle for commodities, which is mainly the super cycle for industrial resources, has a long way to go. Now, what's interesting about this is that even if they fell 30-40%, that they would still be above the average levels that many analysts are forecasting when they calculate their earnings estimates for the leading mining shares. So, mining shares at the moment are not doing very well in the market, as I'm sure you're aware. The chart patterns look a little bit ropey, but most of them are on low valuations. Donald Cox mentions this point again today in his wonderful Basic Points report, which I've posted. But what I see happening is that people are still talking about the cyclicality in the metals sector. They're talking about a collapse of commodity prices. Well, there certainly hasn't been any collapse in industrial commodity prices. And if we put the oil correction in perspective, the percentage decline is no bigger than the average of the three previous medium-term corrections than that we've seen for the oil complex, although it has changed the shape of the chart. We did break that sequence of higher reaction lows. But to get back to the metals, what I see happening is we complete or we get to the end of the seasonally tricky period for global stock markets. The leaders are continuing to lead on the upside. Asia will certainly be to the forefront. Eventually, commodity prices steady, and analysts will look around and they'll see that these mining shares are selling at phenomenally low valuations, disaster valuations, well into single-figure multiples. Some of these have high yields as well. Rio Tinto, with its special dividend, yielded over 4% last year. And they will see earnings come through that are just mouth-watering surprises. In other words, the earnings will continue to come through for the Billitons and Rio Tintos at much higher levels than analysts are expecting because the metal prices are remaining so much higher. And the only way that that would not be the case would be if these mines were foolish enough to do some aggressive hedging and get into trouble on that basis. Phelps Dodge did that not that long ago, as you're probably aware. But without that, as long as they're not hedging out that potential, let alone losing money on hedges that go wrong, the earnings will be phenomenal for those mining companies, and they will inevitably and eventually explode on the upside. And Donald Cox says that it won't be all that long before we'll see them go well. I'm not sure about his time frame on this, so I'll correct that comment. But that Donald Cox is convinced that we'll eventually see at or see the mining shares sell at market multiples or higher. So in other words, they could go from 8 times earnings to 15 or 20 times earnings. I fully expect to see that during this metals bull market, and at worst, that's a few years away, and it could be closer. And I think that's pretty much it for another week. It's been quite an exciting week, and I wouldn't be surprised if the next many weeks are as well. Meanwhile, have a spectacular weekend. All the very best.